sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
I'm John.
Oh, we have...
That's my Mads Mikkelsen.
Did you like it? Yeah. It's not your Sigourney Weaver. David Dasmashian.
Dasmashian, yeah.
And Bison. I'm M. Bison.
Hi, I'm M. Bison, and welcome to our show. Because he was... Laying out with the devil,
yeah. And welcome to the show. This week we are reviewing Dust Bunny. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we'll go to a deep spoiler analysis. But John, you should check your notes because you may already have this written down. If not, lick the tip of your lead and write this down. Well, whatever's on that list, make this the top of the list, okay?
And then we got something about podcasts. Listen, subscribe to your own podcast. Oh, shit. Hey, I need to subscribe to this podcast. just don't know where.
Ah, great question. Have you ever heard of Apples?
Jimmy Goosner.
Have you heard of Apples?
Yeah, I think so.
They're How about like these apples? Apple.
Oh, shit.
The computer maker. That currently is powering our podcast.
Sweet.
Have a podcatcher along with the criminals at Spotify, allegedly. Or really, honestly, any other podcatcher of choice.
I like that we call them, you know, they're Apple products. But if you get a desktop or a laptop, it's a Mac.
Ah, yeah.
But when's the last time you heard somebody call it a Macintosh?
No. Yeah, no.
Right? I can't think of the last time either. I got an Apple Mac. I got a Mac Apple.
Apple Mac cheese.
Apple Mac cheese. I got a Mac Appletosh.
People don't even know what Macintosh means. Steve Macintosh.
Before Tosh.0 came out, they didn't know.
Yeah. Anyways, that's a long way of saying that you should follow us on Apple Podcast, Spotify, your podcatcher of choice. Dust Bunny, I would say a very, you know, anticipated movie for this podcast, all things considered.
As fans of Mr. Brian
Fuller. Brian Fuller, Mads Mikkelsen, that collab is back. It's got full actors too that I enjoy too. But before we give you our thoughts, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny. 5 words. Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Coming in at number 5. Coming in at number 3 for Dust Bunny. Coming in at number 3 for Dust Bunny. Cautionary tale of proper vacuum.
Oh, very true. A broom would have solved a lot of problems.
Yeah. I mean, just a little end dust, yeah. Right? Just have some cleaner. Coming in at number 2 for Dust Bunny. Leon the professional pushing daisies.
Thank you. Yes, that's pretty much, yes.
The gist of the movie, yeah. Except there's none of that weird sexual.
Oh, chemistry. I felt it. Mads Mikkelsen and the Dust Bunny, major attraction going on there.
Yeah, because Mads is a furry. And coming in at number 1 for Dust Bunny, Penny's favorite movie of 2026.
It is. Or that rabbit that was in the last movie, The Sect, when it was flipping through chat.
Oh, yeah, The Sect. You know, I had meant to text you. And he was like, you know what? I know we gave it a bad review, but I would totally just play this clip for people. The bunny surfing.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was strangely brilliant in a rather pretty mediocre movie overall.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of great moments in that movie. It just.
Yeah.
It's just, too long. Yeah.
Too long, too boring. Whatever. Okay, Dust Bunny. Let's preamble this and say Brian Fuller is one of our... would you say he's one of our favorite creators?
I'd say so. I mean, I didn't really watch all of Dead Like Me or really didn't watch all of Hannibal, to be quite honest. I just never... I mean, it's something I'd be into. I just never sat down and watched.
But what do you...
just like a few episodes here and there.
Early in our friendship, we bonded over, or I made you watch. Did I make you watch this show? Are you that interested in it?
No.
Wonderfalls.
No, we remember I told you that I was a huge fan of Pushing Daisies.
Oh, and I pushed on you Wonderfalls.
Wonderfalls, yeah. Or you're just like, you should watch this. I'm like, oh, yeah, fuck yeah. Let me.
That's true, yeah. Yes, and you did. It was great. Wonderfalls. Wonderfalls. It's one of those, like, you know, canceled too soon, ran for one season on Fox, low rated, but an incredible premise. Very Brian Fuller. It sort of predates Pushing Daisies, which is another series that I think was canceled too soon. It ran for, what, like two seasons? Very intriguing premise.
I think two seasons, had an insane cliffhanger.
Right, yeah. And, you know, he's also the maker, like you said, of the Hannibal show, which I think did end, but, you know, I think as well, I didn't finish it, I want to say. So, but overall, I think, you know, Brian Fuller, easily one of them.
And then, of course, I think his most biggest claim to fame is writing an episode of Star Trek. No, his biggest claim to fame is Dead Like Me.
Yeah.
Which I feel like didn't get...
It's very forgotten, I think.
It didn't become popular until like way later. And then they made a movie because...
It reached a certain level. I think it's because it's one of those where it was like kind of like on a difficult premium channel, Showtime, which is doesn't really have a good track record. For instance, like in contrast to HBO, where it's just like, you know... HBO has prestige TV, and Showtime every now and then has like a good series, but you never really hear very much about it. Like Shameless was a very popular show, but I feel like it grew into something more when it like went to Netflix, in my opinion. And then they started clipping it and started putting it on Instagram, and you know, I think it grew up.
I was gonna say, I think they also ran out of original material. Right, or the original source
material. Oh, yeah.
And just started doing their own
thing. Somebody was telling me it ran for like 10 seasons or some shit? Or more?
The UK version?
No, the American one?
Probably both.
Yeah, it ran for I honestly didn't know it ran that long, but it did. And...
For 10 years.
Ran for 10 years. Crazy. I didn't realize it was that long. But,
I mean, the UK version almost ran for 10 years, too.
Oh, interesting.
Damn.
Okay. Right. But Brian Fuller... more of a TV guy, I would say, right? Much more of a TV guy. Yeah. That's like primarily his background. I can't really think of off the top of my head without looking at IMDb what if he did any movies. But I feel like his biggest claim to fame is running TV shows and having, you know, cult-like TV shows. That seems to be like the thing he does the best. He has like very rabid fans, very small, dedicated rabid fans for the shows we mentioned, you know, Dead Like Me, Wonderfalls. Which I think is only me and you now, John. I think we're the last two for mating. And then Pushing Daisies and Hannibal.
Okay, so if I'm not mistaken, this feels like the first movie he's done.
Yes, he
did. Well, he did it's still television though, but he did write the teleplay for the not very good Carrie adaptation in 2002.
Yeah.
But this might be his first movie, which he wrote, directed, produced.
Right.
He did the whole shebang to make this movie.
Yeah.
And then the only other thing he has is coming up is something called Christine.
Oh, interesting. And I know at some point, I think he was part of the team that got released that was trying to make that Friday 13th TV series. I think his name was a part of it. Before they had to do a massive like restructuring because they went over budget and stuff like that. But he was kind of a part of that. It's also like the stuff that he's been a part of that quote unquote failed is also really interesting because I think he spearheaded a lot of at least one of the new Star Trek shows at some point before he was moved on early on. Yeah, so Brian Fuller has like one of those things where like he's consistently worked a lot of interesting things, a lot of big properties. But I feel like the thing that resonates with me and maybe you is it's his personal work, the stuff that feels like personally like his style and his taste and stuff like that, which is right off the top, like Dust Bunny, feels like an extension of a lot of the work he's done already. Like one of your plot summaries, right? It feels very much like Pushing Daisies. Looks, at least aesthetically, like Pushing Daisies. Or The Professional, Leon. It's basically the same.
The Professional,
But what'd you think, John? What'd you think of the movie?
I liked it a lot. I think we kind of talked about it a little bit. I'm not going to say it's my favorite movie of the year, but I liked it a lot. I enjoyed it. And once you kind of settle into like, oh, this is very much like his TV shows, just like a feature length film. I think it was really cool. I mean, I feel like we talked about it briefly. I feel like maybe he was developing this as like a television show. It feels that way. And then he decided just to make a feature length, right? To be like, you know, I'll just end it at the end. Because it's got like a very definitive sort of like, oh, this is the meaning of the movie.
Yeah.
Right.
I would only add that, like, I definitely feels like you can easily make a sequel. Like, it's left open enough to where, vague enough to where you can, like, on to the next adventure without spoiling what it is and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, it does set itself up, but I think it also ends that way because it's, there's a couple of lines right at the end that kind of definitively tell you this is why this happened. Like, this is what this means, I guess.
Right. And then, for him to like, it's pretty exciting that he got to like write and direct it. And yeah.
Oh, did you see the tag at the end? There was a scene after the credits.
I didn't see.
I mean, it's a bit of a spoiler. People understand what I'm talking about. But the Chai McBride of the movie is actually still alive.
The bride of the movie is still alive.
No, the Chai McBride, right? Remember Chai McBride from pretty sure that's how he
says. Oh, he's in this movie?
No, I'm saying the Chai McBride of the movie.
There's yes, a character that's
kind of like the same.
Yes, I get what you're saying. I was quite confused. I've been up for a very long time. So
if after the credits you see that person's
gotcha. I know what you mean. I think
in a very goofy, funny way, and I'll explain it in spoilers.
Okay, very curious. What you mean? Yeah, like I'll echo the same sentiment. I really enjoyed this movie. I think there's good performances here from Mads Mikkelsen, obviously, right? Be a big draw for either one of us.
It's like what everybody was perfectly cast too, because you can see that Brian Fuller did that whole like the emotions are never anger or anything like that, right? He does that in most of his shows where like it's like everybody's going to be calm until they're afraid or whatever, right? It's not like anger is not an emotion in the movie,
right? Yeah. And there's such like immense amount of like rich storytelling, not only with like the script, but like the production design, a lot of the, of course, the actors. Like it's very set in a very specific place, but yet it's one of those movies that it doesn't feel like any specific time, but yet it feels kind of timeless the way he made the movie. It feels like almost like a storybook, almost a fable at points with a little bit of like violence and, you know.
I was going to say some like John Wick level.
Over fighting. The top kind of like. Violence and stuff like that, and because of the just the nature of the plot, right? Because you have she's not adopted, she's the protagonist,
she's
fostered, cared, yes, Aurora, and Aurora, which is really funny because I feel like it's a hard name to pronounce overall, but
Aurora, yeah. And then I like how I don't think this is a spoiler, but Mads Mikkelsen does not have a name.
No, yeah.
He's a nameless character, and I think that's playing on what the meaning of the movie is supposed to be.
Interesting. Mads Mikkelsen basically plays like a hitman next door, and Aurora's kind of like intrigued by him and like following him around early on in the movie. Sort of see something she doesn't quite understand, kind of makes it up. But it also could be a way that there are a few things like, I wouldn't say wrong with Aurora, but like she's like has a very like very big imagination, and it's probably set that way because of like her perspective is sort of twisted a little bit because of like there's so much like trauma and like the way she's grown up, and there's like a backstory there with her being like a foster kid and stuff, so she doesn't necessarily see things as they are. She kind of imagines them,
which
at least early on
there's there's also an argument to be made where she did see all these things, right? So what she saw at the beginning was she followed Mads into like an alleyway and he fights. It's supposed to be, I'm assuming, Chinese New Year, and the you know, the dragon dance.
Oriental New Year's.
And he's like, she went and like murdered all those people, but she can't see underneath the dragon costume.
Right, because of those big like puppets or whatever. Yeah,
it's puppets. Yeah,
so she's through shadows. We get the sense through, you know, CGI shadow, we get the sense that she's, it looks like Mads Mikkelsen's character killed a dragon. Yeah,
killing the dragon.
Yeah, a monster.
And that's exactly what she wants. She needs somebody to kill her monster,
right? Because she's early on, it's sort of perpetuated that Aurora is like is having trouble sleeping on her own, and she's imagining these creatures, for instance, like actual like dust bunny, right? That sort of like gathers under her bed, and then she sort of doesn't want to step on the floor, kind of like the game, what is it, Hot Lava sort of thing?
Floor is lava,
yeah. So and her foster parents are just like, go to bed, you know, like they just don't believe her.
Until it's too late.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a spoiler or not, but early on the foster parents disappear. Yeah. Okay, if you ever see The Professional, it's literally just The Professional. The first, that's maybe the only, that's a fair criticism to make about this movie. The first two acts of this movie is legit just The Professional.
Yeah. I mean, it's not her escaping her parents getting murdered. It's her, what does she do? She goes to church and they're handing out the
collection plate.
Yes, and she just runs out with one.
Right, but that's after her parents are dead, right? Or presumably missing. Yeah,
which is like there's her one row somehow had like $400, and I'm like, you guys don't see what the scam is. But yeah, then she like attempts to hire her neighbor,
yeah, who's like this hitman, which is literally the the profession.
Yeah,
literally like.
Except in this world, he's like, what, he goes to his handler, I don't know what to call Sigourney Weaver, and is trying to get information, and that was the wrong move.
Well, there's a component to that as well, right? Like, all those mafia guys that hire him to kill people. I know we're talking about The Professional, and we're talking about Dust Bunny, yeah. But the parallels are striking, dude. The first two acts of laying on The Professional is literally this movie. Like, it's very, very close.
Because I would say if there is a Gary Oldman character, it would be Sigourney Weaver. But
I would say I thought it was David Dashmachian's character. That whole scene when they are going into the apartment, trying to, like, you know, kill Mads and then, like, Aurora. That was very much, like, Gary Oldman inspired. Just the whole thing.
Yeah. I suppose so. But then there's like a whole scene before that where he's trying to convince Mads Mikkelsen to just leave town.
Right. Mm.
Like he tries really hard to be like, hey, nobody knows that I saw you.
But Sigourney Weaver is like the outlier, right? Like she's like the...
Which, yeah, there's a twist, right?
Right.
At the end.
Right. pretty predictable twist. I would say that's my only, like, I really enjoyed the movie. I think it's a fun movie.
I was going to say it's a predictable twist, I think, because we were expecting it, but I don't know if people would buy that age difference. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make sense in real life.
Right.
Unless she was born in the 30s, right?
Sigourney Weaver? She might have.
She was born in 1949. Like that. I was like, she's way too young.
Right. What else? I was going to say that, my thing is, like, once we, like, I had a lot of like third act issues, which I mentioned to you when we started. This was like, I feel like once the thing happens and, you know, the toothpaste is out of the bottle there, like it's pretty much, it never really gets, once you get to the point of no return there, I don't think the movie ever rises up to like a greater level. And I think partly because I don't think we have interesting villains. That's my other thought.
Yeah, they're just kind of there to
be fodder.
Obstacle.
Yeah. It
would have been cooler if, like, maybe Mads had a sibling that came in, like a sister, right?
Nads? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I was going to say, what would her name be? Angry Mickle's daughter or something?
Yeah, they don't need a name. There's no name. No.
But that's why, like, yeah, you were correct in saying this is very how Brian Fuller writes his television series. It's like, if this was a series, we'd probably get to know these characters more.
Yeah. Sure. Because there's some great stuff in this movie, but it's not enough, in my opinion, where, like, Mads is, like, acting with a young actress. And I think that all those scenes, like, work. They're very heartwarming. They're very, like they're very believable as a pair in terms of, like, that surrogate father-daughter dynamic. I think it works. And I think that she's really good. Sophie Sloan. I think they're both... I think they're both really good. She's an interesting, you know, lead for this. And Mads is like the perfect kind of like gruff, you know, mystery neighbor who's like an assassin or whatever. And I think all this stuff works up to a point.
Like even the, what's her name? Sheila Team.
Yes.
Her name was Brenda, I guess. She was fantastic.
She has a great look. She has a really good, interesting look.
And I don't want to say...
Oriental?
I don't know if I'd say that. I don't know if it's like a... It's kind of a spoiler, but like how Mads and the FBI just start working together real quick.
Right, like, yeah.
But I guess there's like an out. It's just more of a...
There's like this, there's like this extraordinary circumstances as to why things are... everybody's suddenly all working together and everybody's friends.
Everybody's got allergies all of a sudden.
The movie...
Because they weren't cleaning up the dust.
It's like a poor man's Tremors. That's what this movie becomes towards the end of this movie.
A little bit, yeah. It's true, yeah.
But that's maybe the thing that hampers it, because like I did enjoy it, and I even made the comment to you, like if I was much younger, I saw this movie, I would be way more obsessed in terms of just like what it's accomplished and like how simple but yet, you know, imaginative the story and the movie itself,
you know. And if this did become a series, which would feel more like a you know, like I said, Pushing Daisies, John Wick thing. That'd be pretty
and cool. I think you also said that like it feels like TV, and you're absolutely right, 100%.
Like he wrote it to be maybe like a pilot and a couple of episodes.
Right, and this is no criticism. I mean, this is a criticism, but this is no, like, I'm not trying to like make like be you know nasty towards the movie, but like it just doesn't really feel cinematic. Not in a large way.
No.
It definitely, you can feel like it's small scale storytelling, but yet I want to make the comment that like the production design is like, they're squeezing every penny of this and it looks fantastic, like as a movie. It just never really like gets to like that high, more prestigious cinematic look that you expect for a movie.
No, it's a lot of, I feel like it's like a lot of nods to other things too.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a moment where he goes and sees Sigourney Weaver, and there's a bunch of floral arrangements behind her, and she's wearing a floral dress, and that just reminds me of the grandparents or the mothers, the aunts from Pushing Daisies.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, cool. Did you want to get into spoilers?
Yes.
Wait! No! Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop, please. Stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into spoilers.
He's a dust bunny. Is that what you got for this movie?
David Dust Bunny Chillin? No, he's not. Dust Bunny's real. It's a real monster.
Is it though?
And I was going to say that.
It is, but is it? Is it? There's a little bit of magic.
It is, yeah. It is. And this is confirmed because of the tag at the very end of the movie.
Okay.
We think that the FBI agent who's playing pretending to be the social worker, she that team, right? Who I said was like the Chai McBride of the movie, right? Yep. It's like the same sort of like, I think Chai McBride was supposed to be like a detective or whatever also. And then you assume, because it happens off camera, that the dust bunny eats everybody. Mm-hmm. But she pops out at the very end, and it's one of those like fold out ironing boards. She plops out, falls, and is just there like, you know, obviously scared because she saw a fucking monster come out of the ground. And then she like shoots the gun by accident, and it just like shakes, and then she's just there shivering, and that's how that ends. So she's still alive and knows that that exists.
Yeah, and I think it should kind of go quickly back. I think Mads Mikkelsen did a really good job of like at least explaining what was plausible, why the parents disappeared, what could be going on, because we keep seeing this like dust bunny accumulate and get larger and larger to where it's like a creature, you know, big creature size that's able to like bury itself under the floorboards and stuff like that.
Yeah, because when you don't clean regularly, these dust bunnies just
exactly get out of hand. Everybody. I'm just kidding. But yeah, so then
I'm happy that they showed Swiffers.
So like they do a good job of at least playing with that idea that it's real, is it fake, and we kind of don't believe that Aurora is actually like traumatized by this thing that's kind of like always with her, this dust bunny.
Which my theory is, she's potentially a witch.
I don't think I like that, but okay, that's plausible.
That I think that she's potentially got some sort of, because if we're basing this off of Brian Fuller's previous works, one of these people is going to have some sort of supernatural ability that they can't control.
True. That's very true. Mm-hmm.
So I think she's able to make this monster real.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, I think Mads is like, this is your monster, because Mads almost gets eaten twice. Mm-hmm. The first time works out because in true Brian Fuller fashion, he makes a fake product called thumb sucking deterrent, right? And apparently the bus bunny did not like that. That was one of the key, like, oh,
yeah,
whatever. So he doused himself in that, is what you assume, and the dust bunny spat him out.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if I made like a long-winded guess, I'm guessing she was getting frustrated with her parents making her like go to bed early and like don't suck your thumb and using that medicine, which is probably awful. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of why the dust bunny didn't like that.
True. So it's
because he almost gets eaten mm-hmm. again, but she blocks the way and he's like, you know, this is your monster. You have to live with it. And she's like, comes to the realization, but she says that she wished for him too. Right.
Yeah.
And it's really funny because you're like, he's real, but the way his life is set up, because you find out Sigourney Weaver's his mom, she probably raised him as a kid, didn't give him a real name,
just
made him an assassin his whole life. So he's not a real person either. He's just a monster that was created by somebody else.
Right. Yeah. So it's metaphorically a monster plus a real monster that's able to kill people.
Yeah. Yeah. Monster and real monsters.
Yeah, exactly. Did you also, I forgot that. Classic there was another nod to, and this was like, I don't know if it was subtle or not subtle, but there's a nod to La Femme Nikita with the chick with the red dress who had the gun with the ladies with the pointer on it. That's La Femme Nikita reference, 100%.
Yeah. And allegedly the chicken butt lamp was a nod to a previous Mads Mikkelsen show or whatever that he was in. But that was hilarious. I really liked it. It's like the cinematography in this is really good too. It's really funny at times where it's like he's counting the money that the little girl gave him and he turns on a lamp and it's like a chicken butt and the bulb is coming out like an egg. And I'm like, that's not lighting anything he's looking at. But whatever, it's like his perspective, you just see like the little girl and the chicken head staring right at him.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's you know why? Chicken thigh. No.
Oh, shit. Hold on. Let me scrap all the theories I had real quick. Guess what, chicken butt? Oh, fuck. I didn't think of it that way.
But yeah. So, yeah, you like you said, like she's living with her monsters. So she has to live with her monsters. So. And then she's able to like, it's like this thing that's out of control, but she's able to control it. She's starting to control it, right? So then Mads and her, you know, they go off and they get out of this little apartment situation. But
and they're in New York, right? According to the license plate, I'm like,
yeah, okay. But
I was like, who directed this again? Was it Michel Schwab?
Michel Schwab, yes. The whole countryside looked French. I don't these sunflowers.
It looked like I think they shot it in like Copenhagen, yes, or something 100%. Like that. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, New York.
Which did you see that? It was like, is this a bunch of sunflowers or is this a bunch of daisies? What's going on in this last scene?
Alrighty.
But you do see as they're driving away, the dust bunny's shadow is like running after,
like trailing with them. Like it's always going to be a part of you. Her shadow is always with her, right? Like it's all there. Yeah. Okay, cool. Do you have any other thoughts before we rate the movie?
Other than I think I'm going to fashion my bed to have a bunch of bulletproof vests into a little capsule so I can sleep inside of the bed.
I did like that little coffin situation she had where she put the bed over it. It was able to, there was like another layer in between it. That was quite intriguing.
And it was like a bunch of bulletproof vests that were sewn all over the interior.
Like I swear, when I was a kid, I enjoyed sleeping in cramped spaces. Yeah, I did. I don't know what that was about. Probably just some trauma I'm working through.
little trivia for people at home. At the age of 5, Rolando was at 6.
I couldn't hide. Yeah, I thought I was, but yeah. Limbs sticking out everywhere. All right. Let's rate the movie, John. How many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones? Don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm going to give Dust Bunny 7 sexy spooky bones.
I think I'm right there with you. I think it's a solid 7 with you know, it's not perfect, with flaws.
It's not perfect, but I can't say it's like good. I'd rewatch this.
I think so too. I think it's a movie that I would recommend, even though, you know, the 7 rating, I would gladly tell people, hey, you got to check this movie out. Worth a watch.
Another funny way to describe this is like it's a faux family-friendly movie.
Exactly, yes. Yeah.
Because she does help him, like, bag up body parts.
Because Loki, I feel like Brian Fuller fans have already seen this movie. So, yeah, because he has a dedicated deep fan base. So I imagine they've already seen this movie. So, okay. All right, guys, gals, on Binary Pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky and vacuum regularly. Thank you, buddy. Mm-hmm.